D1, number 3B.
All the varied expressions of God reflect the infinite life, truth, and love. All the varied reflections. All. Why don't we accept it? We have the creative. Creative we have accepted mostly. Said, yeah, yeah, it's true, it's true. Yeah, God does that. God creates all in his image. Have we accepted it? He created it male and female. He didn't create it just male. Just the sense where we say, yeah, that's quite intelligent, that's quite true, that's quite reasonable. That's the male. He created it also female. He created it so that something in us, and that he brings them out in the seventh day, in us is the female that says, yes, and that I accept fully and wholly. That's all that there is going on. Nothing else is going on. Therefore, at the end of the sixth day, you know, in Love as Truth, you have those wonderful statements which summarize the whole thing, where Mrs. Eddy says that the divine principle comprehends all. Comprehends. Comprehends has two meanings, as far as my English goes. It has the sense of understanding or knowing or recognizing, and it has, that's the myth, and it has the sense of including, that's the female. So we don't only see that the divine principle understands all or knows all, but comprehends all. It's knowing and accepting and including, and say, that's the whole. There is nothing besides that. The moment I have the female sense, the conceptive sense, I embrace it and there is nothing outside anymore. From all eternity, she says right there, mind knoweth his own ideas. The creative again. Mind knows his own ideas. That's the sixth day. The term man doesn't appear in this tone. It says, that's really what is called in primitive age, 1956 or so, man. But today, in the progressive age, it's called that mind knows himself. It not only knows himself, she goes on and says, and this creation is the emanation of his infinite self. Containment. Again, you have the female, the woman sense, the conceptive sense. It's an outgrowth, you look out, that's the man, that's the progressive sense, that's the creative sense, that's the visionary sense, and you see it isn't out there, it is the emanation of an infinite self-containment, that's the woman, that accepts that nothing is going on but mind knowing himself. If we come to this point, we have touched the sixth day. Then we have touched the issue of today, the 6,000-year period. We have touched what is coming to be. And it was coming to be fulfilled in the next 20, 30 years. So that the time is preparing itself for the breaking in of the seventh 1,000-year period of love. You know, if we think about these things quietly, over and over and over, and lovingly, and have the bigness to let that sense of God and man drop once and for all, and see that being is not God and man, but that being is a principle with infinite ideas. Then we touch this sixth day. With this I just have tried to pinpoint the standpoint why John Dolly felt that the sixth day is the synonymous terms. You know, John Dolly was not a really good teacher. Now, crucify me. He just said the most important things, and he didn't explain it over an hour, as I like to do it. He just said it. And somehow he had that sense, like Jesus, I think, that he said, not one word will be forgotten. I just have to wait until the time is right. Then we'll see it. He didn't explain it. He just said it. But little by little we begin to see the magnitude of what he said. The second thing he said about the sixth day was that the sixth day gives the diagonal, as you know, the Word, the Christ, Christianity and science in its own aspect, which would give the modus operandi, the dynamics of being, you see. Where Christ, Christianity gives the dynamic to mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. The Word, Christ, Christianity is that dynamic power, that omniactive power which makes mind manifest itself out of itself and through itself and as itself and for itself, so that something happens, that things don't stay static. Word, Christ, Christianity and science give, as I indicated already at the beginning, is the self-existence, the self-expression, self-reflection, and the self-interpretation of itself. Then we have the whole cake. Why did he say that? Well, in the sixth day, perhaps you remember what it is presented. As the Word in its own aspect, it's that part of the sixth day where the Bible says that let the earth bring forth the living creature, the cattle, the creeping things, and the beasts of the earth. That's the first creative sense in the sixth day. The sixth day which we like to call the day of man. So the day of man begins with the living creatures, with the living creatures and cattle. And then only afterwards, I just go quickly through it, and then afterwards, in the Christ dome, in the second, comes the creation where God said, let us make man, where God is therefore expressing itself, translating itself as the idea of God. Then comes Christianity sense, where the Bible says, and let then multiply and replenish the earth. You have a multiplication of the idea. And then the science sense, where the Bible says that God saw what he has been everything, and behold, it was very good, perfection. He beheld within himself perfection. These are the four. This is the diagonal. Can you visualize it? First, the creative sense, where God has a concept and has first a creative sense, and we have the cattles. But when it comes to the point that God translates himself entirely, to the point of idea, we have the Christ, man. And when we see that that man is an idea infinitely multiplying and replenishing and spreading, it's the Christianity sense, where there is no end to it. And the whole thing in the fourth point is all encompassed into one, into the infinite self-containment. Perfection looking at its own perfection. So this is the diagonal. Now, let us watch something. Let us watch something very interesting. Let's go to the again to the word sense, where God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures, cattle, creeping things, and so on, and so on. I don't know if you have the textbook in front of you or not. I don't know. If you haven't, then I just always say what it is, because you were not prepared to take the textbook with you, naturally. See, in this first, all the side notes, there are three side notes. The first is continuity of thought. Second is God's thoughts are spiritual realities. And the third is qualities of thought. Can you hear that Mrs. Eddy interprets here that first point of the word in its own aspect, always through thought? These are the creeping things. These are the animals. They are those spiritual realities, qualities, thought qualities. And she explains those thought qualities through the animals, through the lion and through the lamb and through the cattle and through the serpent and so on. And she attributes to these symbols of the animals qualities of thought. These qualities of thought she uses are moral courage, freedom, fearlessness, undisturbed, diligence, promptness, perseverance, stern resolve, tenderness, might, safety, harmless, useful, patience, wisdom, charm, adroitness. Can you hear? The qualities of thought. And these qualities of thought are the first faint appearing of manhood, because she shows that God said, let the earth bring forth. It is therefore the creative sense that we get here, which says first that really mind conceives these thoughts, these diversified and classified and individualized thoughts. So the first appearing of manhood is not just the full appearing, but it's first those qualities of thoughts, those wonderful qualities of thoughts which we love, which support healing, which gives us strength in time of trouble, which are wonderful qualities. But then, that's the word. So, then comes the Christ. In the Christ, the text says, and God said, let us make man. And God made man in our image and in our likeness. So at once we feel, aha, now we see that really when we look out from God, we have not only qualities of thought, but when we see the whole translation, the whole Christ, the whole idea of God, then we have man, the full reflection, the full image and likeness of the Elohim. So man is much more than to identify ourselves with qualities of divine thoughts. Much more than that. We begin with that. We begin when we come out of the mortal picture and reach out for higher thoughts, for better thoughts, for God thoughts, and whatever we say, it's thought. Thoughts from God, God's thoughts. But then we come to the Christ and say, but what has God in you? What is the idea which God sees? What does God behold? You see? And so we begin to see, well, God must behold his wholeness. He cannot just behold a single quality of him, a diversified, classified, or individualized quality of him. God himself always sees himself as a whole. Always as a whole. And when we get this, then the chart becomes intelligible. So here she shows that the Elohim, life, truth and love, reflects itself always as life, truth and love, not just as some qualities of God. That's finished. That's our the animals. God always sees himself as the whole, reflects himself always as the whole. So if we stay with the animal, we will always just stay there where we struggle with this quality, with wisdom we try to overcome ignorance, and with perseverance we try to overcome sluggishness. And can you say sluggishness?
Yes.
Well, see, that's not man, not yet man. That's not even man. That's the beginning of man as animals. Qualities, single qualities. But what a difference when we see that God has a Christ, a whole ideal. And that ideal is whole. Therefore it says, oh, let's make everything, every little thing, according to our whole likeness. After our likeness, after our image. And so we get a wonderful translation of the whole to the point of idea. That we may call sometimes man, if we have to do. But if we don't have to do, let's no more call it like that. And Mrs. Eddy doesn't call it very often anymore like that. She says here that all these countless ideas have the same parentage, life, truth and love. Now, here it comes in something interesting at this point, where it sees the whole of itself. Namely, late in 1907, Mrs. Eddy inserted a description of the ideal man and ideal woman, which she didn't have in the textbook, and which is quite different and quite unique compared with everything she has said up to now about men. Up to now she may have said that man is the idea of God or the perfect idea of God, but now she goes even a bit further. Now in 1907 she inserts that the ideal man corresponds to truth and the ideal woman corresponds to life and to love. She not even says anymore it's idea. It corresponds, and corresponds with a synonymous term, mind you, with a synonymous term. It doesn't say it is God. It doesn't say man is truth. It corresponds. It's just near. It says, well, what does it mean? I don't know. I can't say what it really means. Corresponds with truth, and corresponds with life, and corresponds with love. But pray over it, and you will get the feel of it. The feel of it that here, for the first time after 500 and I don't know how many pages, for the first time she puts man so near to God, to the synonymous term, as never before. And at the right place, at that place where we see, aha, truth, conscious of itself, that corresponds to man. Life, eternalizing itself, that corresponds to woman. Love, fulfilling itself in its own completeness, that's woman. So that the ideal manhood is really life, truth and love, conscious of itself as life, truth and love. Not only as an idea of life, truth and love. Terrific. But these are things to pray over. Really to pray over. See, the textbook is a marvel in so far that it can, in the same text, always go down and take the reader right down where he is, lift him up right on the top, and again take him down, put the hand down, take him up again, so that the whole textbook always has different levels of consciousness. And this is interesting to know and to be aware of, so that we don't take a low level as the final level and make that as an absolute and final revelation or a final stage, but that we are always aware, and when we read the text and say, is that a higher level? Can it go higher? Can it go higher? Can it even go higher? Because we want to go higher. And so we have to know the way. Then she comes to the Christianity sense, see? And in the Christianity sense, she gives that each idea reflects life, truth, and love, the Elohim. That there isn't in all the world an idea which is not reflecting the whole of life, truth, and love. It is here that she says all the varied expressions of God. All. She doesn't say some of them. She doesn't say the highest of them. She says all the varied expressions of God reflect infinite life, truth, love. All. I quite agree that the moment we think in terms of people and in terms of men, we just can't grasp it. Just doesn't seem possible. These things can only be grasped when we have buried the old man and see all things have become new. And the newness is that there is only God knowing himself as his own idea. Then we can see that that is so easy and so natural that each idea of God is nothing but God himself. It can't be a little bit of God. Something, an idea of principle, can never be smaller than principle. Can only be that from which it comes. And that is why we feel that that science becomes then easy, natural, simple, the moment we drop God and drop man and have principle and idea. And then the fourth science in its own office, it's there where she said, that the Bible says, and God saw everything what he had made, and behold, it was very good. The side note is perfection of creation. But the text there is so great, so has such a magnitude. The text which says, really, that the divine principle comprehends and expresses all. It comprehends and expresses all. That mind knows his own ideas. I wonder why we should try to know other ideas than what mind knows. I don't see any purpose why we should know anybody else, anybody different than what mind knows. I don't see why. Why should we know anybody, any situation, any circumstance, other than how mind knows? How does mind know? Mind knows his own ideas. That's all that mind knows. Can you see that? The simple logic. Completely simple. But that's what I said at the beginning of today. The fewer the symbols become, the more definite they are, the more simple they are, the more powerful they become. And this chart is terrific powerful, because it only has 15 terms. Tens of thousands and thousands of pages. So it is the infinite self-containment. So there is no situation existing which is not within the infinite self-containment of life, truth and love. What is there now to worry anymore? Nothing at all. Nothing. There isn't. All that there is worrying is our mortal mind that doesn't want to drop God and man. That's all. It's we that have to be blamed, that we stick on to a body and want to be man as a body, and then we are perhaps willing and say, no, the body is not man, the body is idea, and then we see the body as idea. Bang. Instead that we see mind, capital M, knowing itself as idea. That's something. Mind knowing itself as idea. Spirit knowing and unfolding itself as ideas. Soul conscious of itself and rejoicing over itself as ideas. Then we get somewhere. That's what the chart wants to show.